One thing I forgot to mention is today's service is going to be a little bit different. We're splitting it into three parts of the sermon. So James is going to come up three times and speak on the same subject. And we're going to break it up with hymns and prayer. So I'd like to welcome James to come up. Thank you.
Thanks, Matt. Morning, everyone. Good to see you. Thank you for having me today. I'd like to bring greetings from Grace Church in Quedgeley. And it's really great. Thank you for letting John go over and preach there. And we've been doing a series called Sunday School Stories for Adults. And that came out of a concern that sometimes the greatest stories we tell to our children, but then we never return to them as adults to learn the deeper significance of them. And John is speaking on Daniel in the Lion's Den this morning. We've done Noah's Ark, Esther, and David and Goliath, which is, you may have guessed, a little hint there what I'm speaking about this morning. Now, children, there's a pack for you to do, but as you're doing that, listen out to this amazing story of David and Goliath, because there's some great things for you to learn. And in a minute, I'm going to ask you to come up and sit on this bench here, if you will, and I've got a particular part I want to speak to you about. Tell you a little bit more about who this guy is. This is a narrative sermon, so you're going to need your Bibles. And if you'd like to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16, the main part of the sermon is from chapter 17, but we'll start in chapter 16. And I'm simply going to read you the story of David and Goliath, and along the way, point out some key lessons, some key encouragements, and at the end, the most significant lesson and the hope that it gives us. And Romans 15:4 tells us that that's why stories like David and Goliath were actually written down for us. It says, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." And so the three parts today after the introduction, part one is called the Philistine champion. That's verses 1 to 16 of chapter 17. Part two is God's champion, and that's verses 17 to 37. And then the most amazing part, part three, the Lord saves, verses 38 to 58. So, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1, a little bit of an introduction. "The Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you grieve over Saul?'" You may remember that Saul was the first king of Israel. He had done wrong. He had disobeyed God, and God had rejected him as king. "Since I have rejected him from being king over Israel, fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite," which simply means he was from Bethlehem, "for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Now, to understand the true story of David and Goliath, we have to start back here, 1 Samuel chapter 16, to remember the most important truth. David is God's anointed king, God's chosen one, the one he has chosen to accomplish his work. And look out for the words, Jesse the Bethlehemite, when we come to chapter 17, because they are significant. They may not sound it, but they are significant in the story. Dropping down to verse 4, "Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem." A new king is about to be born in Bethlehem. Does that remind you of somebody else, maybe? Let's skip over to verse 6. "When they came," so that's when Jesse called all his sons to come, "Samuel looked on Eliab and thought, 'Surely the Lord's anointed is before him.' But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart.'" David, the Lord's anointed, verse 6, the Lord's champion, is chosen not because of, listen to this, the height of his stature. A little bit of a clue for what's coming up in a certain story about Goliath, but because of his heart. Then Jesse, verse 8, then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shammah pass by. Take note of those three names of his brothers, because again, they will come up in Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 17. Dropping down to second half of verse 12. So all of the sons come by, none of them are chosen, and they send for David, who's looking after the sheep, and he comes, and the Lord said to Samuel, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. I love that. The NIV says, came powerfully upon David. So now that we understand that the Spirit of the Lord is on David in a special way, showing that he is God's anointed one, God's champion, we're ready to begin the story of David and Goliath. So please turn to chapter 17, verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they gathered at Succoth, which belongs to Judah. So note, they've invaded Judah. And encamped between Succoth and Azekah and Aphes-Damon. So what are these Philistines doing in the Promised Land? Why are they still around? You remember that Israel was to wipe everyone out from the Promised Land. Well, Judges chapter 3, verses 1 to 4 tells us what they're doing there. Judges chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Now, these are the nations that the Lord left to test Israel by them. That is, all in Israel who had not experienced all the wars in Canaan. It was only in order that the generations of the people of Israel might know war, to teach war to those who had not known it before. These are the nations, the five lords of the Philistines, and all the Canaanites and Sidonians and the Hivites. Down to verse 4. They were for the testing of Israel, to know whether Israel would obey the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. So the Philistines were left by God to test and to teach Israel. Test whether Israel would obey the commands of the Lord, and teach war to those who did not know it, so they would learn to defend themselves. First lesson for us. Does God not also use our life among the unbelievers of our day for the same reasons, to test and to teach us? First of all, to test our faith in him, to prove whether it is genuine, to make it stronger, to see if we, his people, will obey his commandments. 1 Peter 1 verse 6 to 7 says the following. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. To test our faith in him, prove it is genuine and make it stronger. Secondly, to teach us and train us for the battles that lie ahead, so that when they come, we are not overwhelmed, so we're able to stand strong in the Lord and not fall. Goliath is chosen as the champion of the Philistines, and we read about that now, verse 2. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in line of battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with the valley straight between them. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath. Now we're going to jump down to verse 8, because I'm going to come back to those verses, explain a bit more about Goliath in a minute in the children's talk. So verse 8. So he, that's Goliath, stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. Easy to say when you look like that, isn't it? If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Goliath defies Israel, and in so doing, he defies God himself. Lesson for us, encouraging lesson. When the world attacks God's people, God sees it as a personal attack on himself. Just like if someone was to attack my daughters, as their father, I would see it as a personal attack on me and I would rise to defend them. Our God is the same with us. When people attack us, it's as if they attack God himself and he rises to defend his people. Verse 12. Now David was the son of an Ephrathite of Bethlehem in Judah named Jesse. There you go, first time. Who had 8 sons. In the days of Saul, the man was already old and advanced in years. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons who went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next to him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. David was the youngest. The 3 eldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days the Philistine came forward and took his stand morning and evening. The mention of Jesse of Bethlehem and the naming of the 3 brothers is meant to remind us of what happened in chapter 16. And remind us that David is God's anointed one. He's God's champion. And that the Spirit of the Lord rests upon him. And in part 2, we will meet God's champion. So, children, I don't know if you're happy to come to the front. If you're not, you're welcome to stay where you are. But if you'd like to, I'd like to tell you a little bit about this guy. Oh, look, nice one, brave guy, good man. All right, someone else as well, brilliant. Do you want to come and stand by him for a second? Pretty tall, isn't he? Would you like to fight him? No, I wouldn't either. See, even to be is massive, isn't it? Cool, thank you. Take a seat. And in verses 4 to 7, we're told about this guy. And what's key to remember is he has been chosen as the Philistine champion. And I want us to think about why they chose him. So let's have a look at the verses. And they came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion. So first of all, he was chosen because he was, I'm sorry, I'm not a very good writer, but he was a champion. Okay, that means he was their best fighter, their best warrior that they had. That's why the Philistines chose him. Secondly, his height was 6 cubits in a span. Now, I don't know what a cubit and a span are because they're old day measurements. But for us, that's 9 foot 9 inches. And the amazing thing is that some guys from church built this to scale. So the top of his helmet there is 9 foot 9 inches. So this is exactly how tall Goliath would have been. Okay? So they chose him because of his height. He was huge. Secondly, they chose him because of his armor. So he had a helmet of bronze, it tells us. He had bronze armor coming up his leg here. And he had this coat of mail, and we'll call that armor. So basically he wore this coat of armor here. And that armor was incredible because it tells us how strong it was because it weighed 57 kilograms. Now, your dad and I would have to work together to lift and carry 57 kilograms without causing us to have a bit of a sore back. So it was very heavy. But it wasn't just strong overall. He also had super strong arms. He had a javelin. Now, we've heard of javelins in the Olympics, don't we? I don't know if you've ever seen it, where they throw it and measure to see how far they can throw it. So that's why Goliath had a javelin. That was for long distance firing at the enemy. So he could throw it a long way while they were still far off and hit them. But he also had a spear, which was more for close-up fighting. And it says the shaft of his spear
was like a weaver's beam, which is basically as thick as my forearm here. That's how thick his spear was. And its weight of its tip was 7 kilograms. Now, you would probably struggle. You might just better get that up, but you'd probably struggle to lift that. And he held it and threw it. So they chose him because of his weapons as well. He had amazing weapons that he would fight with. And he also had a sword. So that's why the Philistines chose Goliath to be their champion. Because of his height, his strength. He was their best warrior, his armor, and his weapons. But what about, who did God choose to be his champion? Do you remember? Yeah? David, that's right. God chose David. And I wonder why God chose David. Did God choose David because he was the best warrior? No, do you remember what David used to do for a job? What did he look after? Yeah? Sheep, that's right. David was a shepherd. He looked after sheep. David looked after sheep. So it wasn't because he was a champion. Was it because he was really tall? No. What about he had lots of good armor on? No, he didn't have any armor, did he? What about because of his weapons? No, he didn't have a spear or a sword or anything like that. So, do you remember from the story why God chose David? What was it because of? Anyone remember? Yeah? It was because of his heart. That's right. That's why they chose him. Because he had a heart that was after God. And that's your key lesson today, children, is that God chooses people because of their heart. Because they love the Lord and want to follow him. And in your, I've got a little pack there for you, which you've probably seen. And in here, you've got some things to colour in. But also, David was wearing some armour. You may not realise that, but he had some armour on. But it's a very different type of armour, which the Bible tells us about in Ephesians chapter 6. And so he had a belt, he had a helmet, a shield, a breastplate, and a sword. And on here is what they actually represent. And so see if you can figure it out. You can chat to your parents. But there was faith. I don't know if anyone remembers what was faith. Anyone know? The shield. That's right. So then you can colour it in using the colours there and stick faith over there. See if you can match them all up and see what the armour of God was. You can colour in the front. There's a song we've been singing with the verses about David on there. There's a spot the difference. Now, I've got the answers to these, so afterwards, if you want to come and show me, I can see how you did. This is when he was doing the sheep, and there's lots of hidden things that you have to find. See if you can find them. Then there's a couple of word searches you might want to have a look at. And as you're doing that, listen out to me as well, because I'm going to be telling you what happened. So you can work on these and listen in the background. Okay, well done, you guys. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you later. Thanks, team. That was great song. So for 40 days and 40 on and on, Goliath taunted and humiliated the Israelite army. And now in part two, we're going to look at God's champion as he arrives on the scene. And Jesse said to David, this is verse 17, his son, take for your brothers an ephah of this parched grain. That's about 10.5 bags of flour that you would have in your cupboard at home. And these 10 loaves, and carry them quickly to the camp to your brothers. Also take these 10 cheeses to the commander of their 1,000. So if your brothers are well, see if your brothers are well, and bring some token from them. David is sent to this battle merely as a messenger boy, to take supplies and to bring news. A lock of hair, a token for a worried father to show his brothers were okay. Now Saul and they, that's David's brothers, and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took the provisions and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the encampment as the host, that's the army of Israel, was going out to the battle line, shouting the war cry. And Israel and the Philistines drew up for battle, army
against army. And David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage and ran to the ranks and went and greeted his brothers. I wonder, with his brothers going off to war, whether David dreamed of being more than a shepherd boy, more than a messenger to run back and forth with tokens and flour. You see, you never know where God will lead us and the opportunities he will lead us into when we are living faithfully for him, day by day, in the small things he gives us to do. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God, was how David lived, even as a teenage boy. Verse 23, as he talked with them, behold, now let's look how the writer writes this here. As he talked with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name. He's building him up, isn't he? Came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before. But something changes. It says there, and David heard him. This is a key moment. The Philistine champion and God's champion cross paths for the first time. After 40 days of defiance, God's champion hears Goliath's words and everything changes. Remember, God's spirit rests powerfully on David and begins to stir David's heart as he hears these words of Goliath. Verse 24, all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were much afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. Now those are some pretty impressive rewards, aren't they? For anyone who would be willing, and yet nobody was willing to go. Why? Because they knew in hand-to-hand single combat, nobody could defeat Goliath. And David said to the men who stood by him, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? Reproach just means disgrace or shame. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him in the same way, so shall it be done to the man who kills him. David hearing Goliath leads to this most important question. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? First time that phrase is used. And what he means by uncircumcised is, you may remember that a Jewish man, showing his commitment to God, was circumcised at birth. So when David calls him an uncircumcised Philistine, saying this man is not a man of God. This is a godless, wicked man. How dare he defy the armies of the living God? And now we understand what's really at stake here, what this story is really about. It's about God's honor. That is what most concerns David. How dare this evil, wicked man who worships rock and wood and stone defy the living God? Do you see the difference? Living. Our God is alive. He's not a rock or a stone like this man worshipped. Lesson for us. Such people exist today who openly defy God. Do we burn with the same righteous zeal for the honor of God's name as David did? Do we realize that it's what's most important is not our honor, not how we look, but God's honor? We are called to stand for the honor of his name. Not with physical force, like David was, but by our words and by our lives. Verse 28. Now Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? In other words, go back and look after the sheep. You know nothing about this. This is man stuff. You're just a boy. I know your presumption and the evil of your heart. Notice that phrase. How can he say that about David? God chose David because he had a heart after God. He didn't have an evil heart. For you have come down to see the battle. And David said, "What have I done now? Was it not but a word?" And he turned away from him toward another and spoke in the same way. And the people answered him again as before. These here are the words of a jealous brother, embarrassed by his youngest brother's courage and zeal for the Lord. Lesson for us, let's not be Eliabs. He knew of David's anointing. He was there. He should have supported and encouraged his brother. Let us never be jealous of another believer's zeal and courage and gifts. Let's spur them on for the kingdom. Verse 31. When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth." Great play on words there. So the king of Israel now says to David, "You can't go and fight Goliath. Firstly, you're just a boy." So he would have been a teenager. At 20, you were taken into the army, so he must have been in his teens. Secondly, Goliath has been a warrior since he was a boy. The Philistines had no such age limit. Goliath, since he was a boy, had trained for battle. David, in human terms, physically and in training, was no match for Goliath. How many times has the writer gone out of his way to make that clear in our minds? Humanly speaking, David cannot defeat this warrior, this man. But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and I struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." And David said, key words here to listen to now, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." You see, God had already been preparing David for Goliath. David knew that he only defeated the bear and the lion because of God. God delivered him, he said. These lessons meant he was ready to trust in God's deliverance for his greatest challenge yet. Lesson for us. Every battle we face, every challenge, every trial we come up against, God is preparing us for what lies ahead. May this give us a new perspective on the lions and bears that we must face daily in our lives. So we've met the Philistine champion in part one. We've met God's champion in part two. And now we come to see that it's neither of them that are key in this story. But actually, part three, it is the Lord that saves. Verses 7, chapter 70, verse 38 to 58. So, the shepherd boy comes to Saul. And then Saul clothed David with his own armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And I think we're meant to realize there that Saul is dressing David like Goliath. Do you remember the description of Goliath? Helmet of bronze, coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor. And he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, "I can't go in with these, for I have not tested them," which means I'm not used to them. He had never worn armor before. Keywords, so David put them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the brook, and put them in his shepherd's pouch. The sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. As we'll see in a minute in verse 50, it had to be without a sword in his hand, so that all the glory and all the honor and the victory was the Lord's. And so he undressed from the armor and went as a shepherd boy, staff, sling, pouch, and stones. For God didn't choose Israel's mightiest warrior. God chose a shepherd boy to be his champion. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. I don't know if you ever realized that before, there was actually two of them. Not just that Goliath was huge, but he also had a shield bearer whose job was to guard Goliath from arrows and things that were fired or thrown at him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog? He come to me with sticks." And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And Goliath, just like Samuel, if you remember, just like Eliab, David's older brother, and just like Saul, sees David only with human eyes. He, like them, cannot believe that this little boy, this teenager, is Israel's champion. And he is offended that they've sent him. Lesson for us: let us never judge others or ourselves by our outward appearance or age. You are never too young. You are never too old to be used by God if your heart is the Lord's and if you trust in him. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the host," that's the army of the Philistines, "this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. You come to me with a sword and spear and javelin," says David. That is, Goliath, you come to me trusting in your human strength and skill and weapons. But I come to you, and note David doesn't mention his sling or his agility or his skill. He mentions no human attributes at all. "I come to you simply in the name of the Lord of hosts." It's not Goliath versus a shepherd boy. It's Goliath versus the living God. "This day the Lord will deliver." Notice, not just you, but a whole Philistine army into our hands. And God will do this so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. In other words, God will restore the honor of his name. And secondly, that Israel, that's all this assembly in verse 47, Israel may learn again what they should have already known through the crossing of the Red Sea, the conquering of Jericho, Gideon, and numerous other stories, that the Lord saves, not by human strength, sword and spear, or army or horse, for the battle is the Lord's. When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the ground. As someone told me last week, the world's first guided missile. I love that. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. Note, there was no sword in the hand of David. Zechariah 4 verse 6 says, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and Judah rose with a shout and pursued the Philistines as far as Gath. I think there's a good bit of humor in there. Who was from Gath? Goliath. They pursued them all the way back to the hometown of their so-called champion. And the gates of Ekron, so that the wounded Philistines fell on the way from Sharaim as far as Gath and Ekron. And the people of Israel came back from chasing the Philistines and plundered their camp. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. He put his armor in his tent. As soon as Saul saw David go out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of his army, "Whose son is this youth?" And at this point, the writer wants you and me to be shouting, "We know! We know he's the son of Jesse the Bethlehemite. He's God's anointed, chosen king." And Abner says, "As your soul lives, O king, I do not know." And the king said, "Inquire whose son the boy is." And as soon as David returned from the striking down of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul, with the head of the Philistine still in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, young man?" And David answered, "I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." The writer's final comment, "son of Jesse from Bethlehem." This is David, God's anointed one, God's champion, God's chosen king, and he is victorious. As you can see, there are many lessons, many encouragements that we can take away from this amazing true story, and we've looked at a few of them along the way. But the main and most important lesson for us, I believe, today is this: God provided his anointed one. God provided his anointed one. God raises up his anointed king to defeat the great enemy of his people, defend the honor of his name, and give victory over evil. I don't know if you remember what the Gospels call Jesus. Jesus Christ, or Jesus the Messiah. Christ and Messiah, the same word, one in Greek, one in Hebrew, and they mean the same thing. I don't know if you remember that they're not Jesus' surname, but they're his title. His title that was given to him by God himself. And you know what the title means. It means God's anointed one. Jesus is God's anointed one. Jesus is God's champion. The lesson for us is not that we are David, but that God has provided Jesus, his anointed one, his champion as our David, to fight our undefeatable enemy of Satan, sin, and death, because we could not defeat them ourselves in our own strength, in our human wisdom. Jesus fought for us. Jesus fought for us. Let that soak into our minds and our hearts today. Jesus fought for you against your undefeatable enemy. And he did it with no sword in his hand. He did it by dying on the cross in place of our sins. You see, the lesson for us is not that if we trust God, we can defeat Goliath. The lesson is that our Goliath has already been defeated by God's anointed one. Our job is to rise up with a shout like the armies of Israel and live in the light of Jesus' great victory, trusting in Jesus our King as we face the last skirmishes with the defeated enemies around us until Jesus our King comes again and takes us to be with him. Turn with me to verses 46 and 47 again. Do you not think they also speak of our Saviour? The reason that Jesus came and died for us. That all the earth may know that there is a God. And that all this assembly, that is all you, all of God's people, may know that the Lord saves. Not with sword or spear, not by human strength, for the battle is the Lord's. Praise God for that wonderful truth. I wonder why God put the dimensions of Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17. I think it was so that we did things like this, that we took time to understand the size of the man and the enemy that David faced. And so I invite you after the service to come and stand by Goliath. If you're a believer, just remind yourself that God has defeated your enemy and you live in the light of that victory. If you're an unbeliever, then bear in mind that your enemy is not defeated, that you must still face him in your own strength. If David had gone against Goliath in his own strength, he would have been killed. If you go against sin and death and Satan in your own strength, you will not prevail. You will be killed. Your soul will go to hell when God comes again. Stand before this man and realize that. I speak that only to you out of care and concern that you would know what I've come to understand, not by any wisdom that I have, but because faithful people once told me. And I came to believe it. And I encourage you, let Jesus be your champion. Let him be your king. You'll never regret giving your life to him. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for defeating our undefeatable enemy, Satan, sin, and death. Thank you for going to battle for us, for fighting for me, for dying for me, that I might have a life and a future. Thank you for the lessons that you've taught us today. Thank you for the encouragements. And thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus. May we take these things into the week ahead and live in the light of your victory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. 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 Thank you for listening.